Invitations are nice, but a personal invite, a direct call, is profound and so personal. We can get invited to all kinds of things, but when we have somebody come to us and say, I want you to come to this event, I want you to come to this party, I want you to come to this celebration, personal invite is incredible. We are called to Jesus. We are called to Jesus, to his kingdom, to his glory, you and me. That's the personal call. That's the point I want to make in our message today. We are all personally called to him. Why does this matter? Being called to purpose gives us endurance and resilience. We can, when we know we're called, we can pursue, we can press on, we can make it through when we know we're called. So we get called into something big, something huge, something beyond us that we can't even imagine. When Jesus calls us, we're called into something amazing. Capital A, huge A, amazing. And that gives us the courage and strength to follow through and to pursue and to not give up. Let me encourage you with that. First Thessalonians, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm looking at verse 10 we talked about a while ago. 1 verse 10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. Note that. Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. And he's the one that's rescued us. He's rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. But then you go to Revelation chapter 1, and I've quoted this verse so many times. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, up on the screens, where Jesus says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever. I hold the keys of death and grave. He was resurrected from the dead, as Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians. And then he says again, in the last book of the Bible, he says, I'm the living one, I died, and look, I'm alive. Look at me, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys. I've got your keys that I've got from death and the grave. Next verse. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. And you look into the book of Revelation, which is a whole nother message, and you see what God is all going to be doing. It's incredible. Therefore, he calls us to his kingdom and to his glory. Walk with me here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. The Apostle Paul's writing to this church that's gathering in a large living room, picture it, all sitting around waiting for Paul or the messenger to read this letter. And this is what he says, for we speak as messengers. Nope, wrong verse. You're right, I'm wrong. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we're like children. We're gentle among you, is the other translation. We were like children, we're gentle. Or we're like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you, church, so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, the gospel, the good news, but our lives, our very lives too. Can I say a personal note? That's why we're just very excited to move to Rose Park. To just be able to now share our lives with you. We're just really excited about that. You can't know. We just are. I know some people joke, you're adamant, you are not moving to Rose Park. Oh man, just get over that. We're just very excited to share our lives with you. Just a side note, it's not in my notes, it's free. Okay. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day, we toiled, we worked to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preach God's good news to you. Now, understand here, the Apostle Paul had a right to demand payment. As an apostle, and many of the pastors have moved around, they have this right. He talks about this in 1 Corinthians. You need to pay us to do this work. But he determined, as the Apostle Paul, he determined he would not take. He got gifts. People gave him money. But he never walked into an area, and especially in 1 Thessalonians, expecting anything. And that's why he talks about working hard, not just for the church, but he was a leather maker, a tanner. He worked with leather, and that was hard, hard work. That's why he talks about toil, the hard work he had to do on the side. You yourselves are our witnesses, so is God, that we were devout, we were honest, we were faultless towards you as believers. A lot of people criticized him and his cohorts with them, that you were just trying to get things from them. You were selfish, and you weren't honest, and you were terrible. And all kinds of people accusing him. He goes, no, I was devout, I was honest, I was faultless towards you. I wanted you to see the gospel. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. Interesting. A few verses before, go back to that. Treated you as a father. Interesting that before he talks about being like a mother, being gentle. And now he's talking as a father. There's a difference in a family about how a mother and a father work. And that's why you need both. If at all possible, that's why you need both. Because there's different sides. One book is written called The Two Sides of Love. There's a soft side and there's the hard side. And sometimes that can flip between how the couple is how they work together. But there's a soft and hard side. So we talked about this last week. But now he goes, and you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. And then this is how he explains it. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives. There was a pushing that he did. He urged, he pleaded, he encouraged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. To live the good, honest, godly life that would be worthy of God. For he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. Now there's different, I love looking at the different translations. So the next verse 12, it gives the different translations. The NLT says, pleaded, encouraged, and urged. The English Standard Version is exhorted, encouraged, and charged. The NIV is encouraging, comforting. That's an interesting word. There are some times when we need to be charged and pushed and encouraged and exhorted. But sometimes in our lives, at any given point, we need somebody to come along and comfort. It's not like pull up your bootstraps and get with it. Oh man, you're going through a real tough time. Let's comfort you a little bit. Let's encourage you. Let's help you. I love that, how he put that in there. And the Living Bible says that your daily lives should not embarrass God. Now, this is a paraphrase. It's not a translation. But I like how he puts it in there. The paraphrase. That your daily life should not embarrass God, but bring joy to him who invited you into his kingdom to share his glory. That would be a good challenge for some of us. Side note. Our lives worthy of God? Or are there times when we embarrass God? That's a good reflection question. How is my life, and how does God look at me as to how I'm trying to live for Him? It's a good challenge. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 is a great verse. Therefore, I, as a prisoner, Paul is writing, he's in prison, I beg, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Every one of us have been called and invited personally by God. Look at the Amplified Version. So I, a prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for our salvation. Wow, what a rich verse. Again, that's a paraphrase, but it helps put in some really good words to define what it means to live a life worthy. I love that in The Message, which is another paraphrase. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God called you to travel. Don't just walk, and there's times when we just need to walk. Don't just walk, run. Get into what that journey, that travel, that calling that God has called every one of us to do. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. He's calling us together to help us together to grow, to do this journey. The journey of following Jesus is not easy. Can I get a whole bunch of amens to that? It's not easy. There are many times when we want to give up. Many times. But God's calling us to journey because He's called us to His kingdom and to His glory. The call of God upon your life, that's the key, the point. God has a call on your life. What is that call? For you. I was at a conference just this weekend at Steinbeck Bible College, a great conference about how to pass on the faith from one generation to the other. Fabulous, fabulous conference. And there was a real self-realization. I mean, it was great on the other side, and I looked at it for how we help each other as a church, and particularly our children and our teenagers and how they move along. But all of a sudden I realized, wow, God was incredibly gracious to me. It became very personal as I went through this. He talked about how there's what we call about, and you're probably aware of this, how many nuns there are. N-O-N-E-S. They don't follow nothing. There's a lot of people that are just nuns that have left the faith or just grew up in a home where they never learned about faith. It's a growing number around the world, but he's talking Canada. how there's just a growing number of nuns, and that if you grow up in a family of nuns, the chance of you becoming a Christian and following Jesus is none, or very little. If you grow up in a family that is following Jesus, and the parents are following Jesus and working on that, then the percentage, the odds are very good. And if you've got grandparents that are helping that, that reinforce that, that's even better. And if you have a church, then that all works together. So parents and grandparents, and then as a church. We'll talk about that another time. But I realized that it just really hit me. I grew up in a home of nuns. My parents, as you may remember in my testimony, did not follow God. My dad was a Catholic, being Irish, British. My mom was Lutheran from Germany, and they met in Vancouver, and my mom had to become a Catholic to marry my dad. That was the time, how many years ago it was. But they never went to church. There was one time in my junior high years where we went to church for 6 weeks to Catholic church. Because I guess I was preaching too much about what I was learning in the church that I was going to. And that's another whole story. I won't get into that. Because I only have so much time this morning. And so we left that church, or they pulled me out of that church, and then we went to a Catholic church, and then they got tired of it, and then we didn't go anywhere, except I was still able to go to youth group. But you know what I realized, probably more profoundly, is that what made the difference was that little church of 40 people that loved me and my sisters and enveloped me and pulled me in. If it was not for them, I mean, I could extrapolate it a long way. If it's not for them, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for this little church, I didn't walk away from Jesus at all in my teen years. I went straight into Bible school and straight into ministry. All because of this little church, of growing up in a family of nuns. They didn't believe. That's a whole nother story, which I'll talk about, of how my parents, I think, ended up. That's why it's really important for all of us to realize wherever we come from, God's called you. It doesn't matter your story, it doesn't matter your history. Doesn't matter what kind of family you came from. Good, bad, ugly, whatever you want to call it. It's God's grace upon you. And then we as a church, how God has called us as Rosenberg Community Church, has called us into His kingdom, into something that's much bigger than us. I could get all self-absorbed about God calling me and bringing me through into this little church and all to now and all the years that I've been, and I could be selfish about it, but it's always about His kingdom. It's always about His kingdom. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about His kingdom and His church. That's what we're called to. Called to His kingdom, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Called to His kingdom and to His glory. It's actually not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us together.